Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for SiteLap. I'm your host, David Pingree, joined by Bruce Murata, as always. And our special guest today is Jimmy Button. And he's going to be covering our look ahead at the Indianapolis Supercross. And for good reason. As I was looking through some of the stats, the first guy to win a 125 Supercross main event in the old RCA Dome, right, Jimmy?
Yep.
Was none other than yourself. So congratulations on that. And I remember that season pretty well because I was obviously paying attention to you, and I were buddies back from Arizona. And I remember you getting a couple of wins in a row, right?
Yeah. I got my first win the weekend before in Charlotte, which is good because I had one. I think we talked about this earlier. I had one snatched away from me a few weeks before that in Atlanta, when the handlebars snapped on me while I was leading, but. Yeah, I got a win there in Charlotte, and it was really cool to go to Indianapolis and get another win, like back to back, you know, because it had taken me a couple of years to get that first win, and then being able to back that up, you know, because, you know, people talk, you know, oh, it's a fluke, you know, he got lucky, or, you know, whatever people say, because people say those things. So it was nice to go back it up. And I think, God, if I remember right, I think I actually caught and passed Swink. So it wasn't like I got into the lead and kind of ran away. I think I actually caught and passed him. I think caught him on like a wall jump or something, if I remember right. But yeah, so that was like a nice validation. And that was my, you know, my second win of the season. I ended up second in that championship behind Brian. So yeah, it was a good time during the career for sure.
And that was the DGY Yamaha days. And I remember you snapping those handlebars. That was like Pro Taper was brand new.
Brand new. Yeah.
And I remember
it was before they shot pinged them. So the bars were really, really smooth. And what, you know, I mean, it was a learning curve like anything back then, right? When stuff was brand new. And so, yeah, the bars weren't shot pinged. And then, yeah, they snapped on me. I think Fro had actually broken a set during testing down at Gainesville, maybe a couple of weeks before or something like that. So we were guinea pigs back then. The factory guys were guinea pigs, but yeah, I mean, you know, that's part of the history of it all. So it's cool.
Jimmy, I'm just curious. Where did they break at? Like, were you going through like a whoop section off a jump?
No, it was, so like, you know, it's kind of old school racing design track, right? So you come over the finish line, you make a right-hand turn, you kind of like go back onto the start, and it was a right-hand first corner, and it was literally just like a little tiny 3-foot jump onto a tabletop. And like when I hit the little 3-footer, I was kind of leaning into it at an angle. And so the throttle side of the bars just snapped right at the clamp. Jeez. And so I hit the ground. And I had no idea what had happened, you know, and I go to pick the bike up. And I'm like, ah, that's what happened. So, it was interesting. It was funny. I was pretty pissed off. And the old Cincinnati trade show was the next day. And so I was going there to actually, because I was riding for Answer at the time, and Answer and Pro Taper were basically the same company. Right. And I had an autograph signing at the Answer booth. I think that they were probably a little unhappy that I walked through the trade show with broken handlebars in my hand, given that everybody knew what had happened the night before. But I was a little pissed. It probably didn't cost me the championship. You know, I lost by, you know, 29 points or whatever, and that was 25 points, but at least it would have made it a little bit more spicy, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, you're still not stoked your handlebars snapping out, no matter what.
No.
All right. Well, let's look ahead here to Indianapolis. This, of course, is brought to you by Rock and Turf, Maxxis, and Speed Straps. If you guys need any kind of grass work, artificial turf, mats, go to Rock and Turf on Instagram. Maxxis Tires, making really great truck tires. If you guys need something for your ride, check out Maxxis.com and SpeedStrap.com. The best tie downs in the business. We're stoked to have them on board. So as we're looking ahead this weekend, guys, it's now in Lucas Oil Stadium, which is a super nice venue. This one does have a roof. We missed that last week in Birmingham a little bit. And really, when you talk about the dirt conditions, I would say perfect. Indy typically has some of the best dirt all season, just good grip, builds some ruts, but typically not too bad. And then weather report is 63 degrees and partly sunny Saturday. So it's going to be a nice day for it. Jimmy, why don't you speak a little bit to the dirt? You've raced there probably more than any of us. How would you describe that soil there?
Yeah, I mean, the dirt's generally pretty good, right? Like it lines build. I would say they build kind of maybe more correctly. Not overly, it doesn't get overly rutted. You know, I mean, all the tracks are breaking down pretty significantly these days with just the power of the four strokes, right? But yeah, I mean, it's good dirt, normally has good traction, you know, lots of lines normally get built, and generally provides for some pretty good racing. So, you know, I think, you know, there's always tracks that you would go to that you're like, oh man, this is just going to be a rut fest or whatever it is. But you know, and part of that actually is maybe a little bit dictated by where the dirt is stored, which a lot of people don't realize. You know, depending on where the dirt's stored and what the weather has been, you know, has it been frozen? Have they been getting a lot of rain? Whatever it may be, will maybe dictate a little bit of how that dirt develops over the course of the race weekend. So I guess, you know, maybe if we do a little history lesson and go look and see what the weather's been like in, you know, the last month or so in Indiana, you know, to see, you know, have they gotten a lot of rain? You know, is it going to come into the stadium a bit more wet than normal? Obviously they can dry it out a little bit with some additives they can add to the dirt, but that kind of dictates a little bit of how that ends up developing. But the dirt works guys always do such a great job on keeping a thing in tip-top condition, especially, you know, given the amount of abuse that goes into it from the bikes.
Absolutely. So when we look at our speed strap 250 preview, and remember that this is a triple crown. That's the other component to this, mm-hmm. this weekend's event that we need to remember. This is an East Coast round. And I feel like at Daytona, we really saw a shift in both classes. Birmingham and Daytona really were like a pivotal couple of rounds. And I think when we look back on these title chases, we'll see that. Where in this class, Tom Vial just grabbed the freaking broken pro tapers and just started steering the ship.
Yeah.
To steal a joke. Yeah, that's unfortunate, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, I would say prior to Daytona, it was wide open. Like, mm-hmm. I still thought Deegan had it handled. I'm like, oh, he's going to steamroll these guys. But it just, man, I don't know. It does, whether he's injured and that's bothering him, whatever it is, he's off. And Tom Vial stepped up and took that leadership role. Got it done in Daytona, which maybe wasn't a big surprise from a two-time world champion, but to back it up with that win last weekend in Birmingham, pretty impressive.
Well, and David, I think that's the point that this whole thing hinges on, right? I mean, you're talking about a two-time world champion, right? And you're talking about somebody that knows how to come from behind in a championship. You also know how a guy that knows how to lead a championship from the front. Because he's done both, right? Like he's walked away from a series and he's built himself back into one, which is kind of what he's had to do after that first round in Detroit. You know, that whole crew is great. Like I raced against his dad, right, when I rode Grand Prix in 95 in Europe. And so, you know, he comes from a good lineage, right? His dad was a fantastic rider, both in Supercross and Motocross. You know, so his success is certainly not surprising, and his ability to win isn't surprising. I think we started to see last year as he got better and better during outdoors, you know, that comfort level of him being, you know, now in America, it's a big change, even though he's got his whole family over here with him. So I expect him to get stronger, more consistent, and now he's building confidence in Supercross, right? Mm-hmm. You know, whereas I would say in the Hayden situation, you know, he built a lot of confidence up last year, and, you know, through whatever, you know, rhyme or reason this year, whether, you know, we'd all heard he had a little bit of an injury preseason, you know, how much did that really affect his preparation? How much did that affect his confidence? I mean, he's a pretty headstrong kid, I think. But, you know, seeing checkered flags builds confidence, whether how headstrong you are or not. And so, you know, him only basically, I think he's only been on the podium maybe once, right? The rest of the time he's been off, and that podium was a win. Mm-hmm. That will start to wear on you a little bit, even as good as he is. The guy that I feel like has his like breakout coming is McAdoo, right? Mm-hmm. He's gone 2-2-2. You know, the first race, you know, he was kind of balls out at that first race with the crash. Yes, he was. I had to throw that one in there. but you know, he's been really consistent. And it feels like he's gotten more in the tank. But this year I think he's ridden a bit more reserved and not his normal kind of just all out self. But it's put him in a title fight.
Yeah, absolutely. So when we look at points, Vial sitting there with 74 in the lead, but only one back, McAdoo in second. Pierce Brown only 5 points back in third. And then you've got Deegan and Shock 12 points back, tied for fourth and fifth. Hamaker and Bennick 15 points back, tied for that sixth and seventh spot. So and Anstey is 21 back now. I'll mention him because he was our red plate holder for a while before that DNF. I think that even those 12 points back, guys, you know, Deegan's still in this. A lot of stuff can go sideways. Look at that opening round, right? I mean, anything can happen. But I think at this point,
well, and you got a triple crown this weekend. You know,
that's right. And we have east-west rounds that are going to. How do you know how that goes, Jimmy? Like the potential there to have a huge point swing is big.
Yeah, you know, the thing that's interesting about triple crowns is, you know, at a regular race, you have one heat race, one start with half the guys, and you have one main event start with all the guys. Mm-hmm. And so you're really only going into the first corner one time with all the heavy hitters and where it means something. And these triple crowns, you have three of those. The danger level and the intensity level is so much higher at the triple crowns, especially on the starts, that you know, a lot of things can go right and a lot of things can go wrong really, really mm-hmm. quickly. So I don't know. I'm always apprehensive, you know, coming into a triple crown weekend. And so it'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out for sure.
Absolutely. You got to look at who's getting good starts because that is so critical. And like Vial, McAdoo, both been getting pretty good starts. I would say Vial may be better. Pierce Brown, terrible starts, so that does not bode well for him. Seth Hamaker, who's another guy I think has the speed to win, he's had two crashes in the starts this year. You could say they're his fault. I think it's just racing. I mean, you get stood up by somebody or catch your bar on their jersey or their fender, and you know how that goes. I think it's just
last weekend was just bad timing. I think for both, you know, Hayden was coming from the outside. He was doing what he was trying to do with you know, not a good gate pick. And Seth, he was stuck. There was nothing he could have done differently, in my opinion. I mean, we've all had that happen to us, right? Where you have a really good start, you're on the inside, but someone's got a little bit better on you. They're diving from the outside, and you got nowhere to go because you got someone on your left shoulder. You know, you can't go anywhere, and then you get awkwardly stood up and you touch that back end, and it's lights out from there.
Yeah, he's taken a lot of heat that I don't think is fair. You come racing into a corner with 19 other guys. I mean, this is just the way it goes. You know, sometimes it happens. Bruce, tell me who you think, first of all, is 12 points too much to overcome for a Hayden Deegan if he can right the ship right now? And who do you see this weekend getting three good starts, putting in three good finishes in this triple crown?
Well, you know, is to answer your question, is 12 points, you know, is that too far back? Just the way the season's already been going, I don't think so, because anything can happen, especially at a triple crown. And the two guys that I have in mind for this weekend is Vial and McAdoo. Vial's proven the last two rounds he's gotten great starts, which that's going to be huge for these triple crowns, like you guys said. And also, you know, Vial's got that taste of winning now. His confidence level, and I know, you know, Jimmy had spoke about that, his confidence is just building right now. I mean, this kid's on a high, and the minute he starts getting that feeling of what it feels like to run up front in a race, and I know you guys could, you know, you guys could speak about that, you know, getting that feeling of being comfortable leading a race and seeing that checker flag. I mean, it's going to be, he's going to be tough to beat. He's got a lot of momentum right now. With McAdoo, I feel he's been riding very, very smart this year. You know, and he's consistent, and that's what it takes to win these triple crowns, is being consistent. So I'm between them two for this weekend. And so I'm actually going to pick McAdoo for the win, because I feel like there's a lot in his tank that he's going to let out this weekend. And I'm doing Vial for second, and I'm really up in the air for third right now.
Okay. Yeah. So, and those are the three guys I have listed too: Vial, McAdoo, and Deegan. I think that really it's just going to be who can get that through that first turn clean. Like mm-hmm. I said, Vial's starts have been awesome. And I think now with that newfound confidence.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to be tough to beat. I agree. Jimmy, what do you think?
Well, the thing that about Vial too, he's been getting good starts. He's got confidence building, but the thing that I would point to more than anything, his first three or four laps have been super clean.
Mm-hmm.
Right. He's gotten a good start. He's not made that little air the first couple laps to spike the heart rate. You know, what I've seen from him is he's gotten good starts. He's settled into a really quick pace, really, really quickly, with not a lot of errors. And when you can do that, especially in a triple crown, right? So, you know, the first race on the night is pretty basic. Everyone's feeling good. The second race is this, that, but by the third race, if you've been able to get two good starts and kind of put that thing into a nice mode, you know, that third race comes pretty quickly, like in the program. And I think it puts him in a good spot right now. First turn crash or something like that could derail, you know, my whole thought process on it. But, you know, I think he gets the win again. I think he does. I think he goes three in a row this weekend, to be honest. And I think if that happens, it's going to start affecting everybody else mentally, even though, mm-hmm. you know, let's say he wins again, McAdoo gets second. He's only going to have what, a 4-point lead. But what it starts to do on a mental side, that's bigger damage than the points. Yeah. I think.
Yeah, yeah. McAdoo starts to believe that Vial's got his number and he's not going to be yep. able to beat him. Yeah. Even if you're telling yourself one thing, that's the reality is he's beat you three weekends in a row. So it starts to build.
Yeah.
All right, let's peek ahead at this 450. This is the Rock and Turf 450 preview. We look at the last couple of weeks. I mentioned this with the 250 class. I think the writing, we've all seen the writing on the wall that Jet's probably operating at a higher level, a little bit higher orbit than these guys. It hasn't shown because of the mud and a couple little crashes, but the last two weekends it's you can see that he's gotten more serious. Like, okay, I got to clean up my little mistakes. And he kept saying, you know, I'm here for business. I'm, you know, whatever his little thing was, I'm standing on business. I think that's must be an Aussie saying, cause I've never heard it, but he's definitely taking control. And the points show that. I mean, he's got now, he's sitting at 185. Webb is 13 points back in second. He's still on the hunt. Sexton's third at 20 points back. Man, 20 points at this point starts to get to be a lot. And Tomac sitting fourth, 26 points back. Eli can race this weekend. Jet could DNF. Jet's still beating him. So
mm-hmm.
that's it's starting to get away from these guys. And I think that now that he's got this momentum rolling, you got to stop it right now. You know, Ricky always used to say the season starts in Daytona or after Daytona or whatever this little thing was. And man, it's kind of, you're seeing that now. Like that's where this series anyway has kind of broken open, and Jets really grabbed control of it. Now that doesn't mean, you know, weird things can't happen, but you know, we saw Eli Tomac a few rounds back show a little bit of his old self, and he seems to have, he can't parlay that into a win at Daytona or last weekend. Excuse me. So I'm not sure what's going on with him. And I kind of feel like Cooper Webb's the last man standing, who's really got a shot to take Jet down. What do you guys think?
Yeah, so
I mean, it's Jet, Jimmy. Dude.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it's, I mean, the kid's a unicorn. I mean, let's be honest, right? Like, he's a generational talent. I mean, he's so damn good. It's bananas. You know, you watch him ride, you watch him do what he does. I mean, the only time I see him in jeopardy, having problems is, and this is rare because he gets great starts, is him having to come from behind. And that's really the only time you see him make mistakes, right? If he gets a top three start, it's kind of lights out, right? Your goose is cooked a little bit there. And he gets good starts too often, right? He's a very good starter. And so he eliminates 70 to 80% of all the issues that could ever happen to him by just getting good starts. Again, the only time I've ever seen him have some problems is coming from behind, but he's so good. He's very calm on the bike. Even when he's had like a little bit of, or he comes up short, lands long or something like that, his body position is calm. You don't see, I would love to see what his heart rate looks like, right? Because I got to think he's probably operating a little bit lower than everybody else, because he is riding so smooth and a bit effortlessly, even though he is putting in a ton of effort. But I mean, that combination and the bike looks like it's working really, really well for him. Obviously, he's got a ton of confidence in his the bike that's underneath him and the team that's around him. And it's just, he's hard to beat, man. He's hard to bet against. And is he going to win all the rest of the races? Shit, I guess maybe he could. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he wins the rest of them, and I wouldn't be surprised if he only wins one or two more, right? Because the field is so good and things can happen. This is Supercross, but I mean, it's hard to bet against him. He's good, man.
Yeah, the one thing I'll throw up here, and Bruce, I'll get your opinion on this. He's not done well at the one triple crown that he's done. Even on a 250, he wasn't that great. And if you watch him, it's something I've always been impressed with watching Jed, is that he's very patient the first few laps. He doesn't push, he doesn't rush. He's not like a Roczen where they just sprint, you know, right away. He sits back and you kind of go, oh, man, what's wrong with Jed? He doesn't have it today. And then as soon as he feels comfortable or he got his gets his lines figured out, it's like a switch flips and he's gone. And I don't think that works as well in a triple crown, especially if you don't get the start, to Jimmy's point. And looking historically, this is triple crowns are very good to Eli Tomac and to Cooper Webb. And those are his two biggest contenders at the moment. So, Bruce, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna agree with you on what you said about that, Ping, with because those are the points that we're gonna make about Jet when it comes to these triple crowns. I also want to mention too, though, is I feel like and I know a lot of people are thinking this, they're like afraid to admit how good Jet really is. You know, it's almost like a jealousy thing. You know, it's like we want to pick someone else to win because he's doing so good, but we got to own it and realize that that's the best dude on a motorcycle right now. He's the one that can win everything. It's just how it is. He's the best, you know? So
Yeah,
if he can.
and a lot of people, you know, a lot of people get angry when someone starts to win all the time. I mean, Ping, you remember back in '93 when Jeremy went on that first run of his. You know, everybody hated the fact that he was beating Stanton and Kudrowski and LaRocco and all those guys. I mean, everybody was angry that he had come in and, you know, what do you, he went what, 5-4, 1-1-1-1-1. I mean, it was crazy. You know, and everybody got really angry that this, you know, that this young kid that came in and did that. I mean, it's eerily similar. You know, and I know that, you know, there's been a lot of talk about 72 and all that, but and you got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, and if anyone could do it, he's the kid. I want to throw this stat out that I read this week. The winner of the Indy Supercross has won the 450 Supercross title in 20 out of 31 seasons, 65% of the time. In the old RCA Dome, the winner of the Indy Supercross won the title an incredible 14 out of 17 times, 82%. I think that this goes hand in hand to what Carmichael used to say about the season sort of starting at the Daytona point, somebody by this time takes control. They're the alpha and they start to win. And this Indy typically being later in the season falls in line with that. The guy that's really got the series by the horns is winning more of the rounds. Right. And I think that's kind of what ties to this stat, which is interesting. So it might be a little different this year being a triple crown, but it's just something to keep in mind. The guy that starts, that's winning a lot of these races the second half of the season, his percentages chance of winning the title are way up. If I'm looking at this weekend, to me, really hard to bet against Jet. I think if anybody can beat him, it's probably Cooper Webb. Man, as much as I love to see Eli turn it on in that one main event a couple rounds back, I haven't seen it since. The beast mode speed. And I think Coop is still in this hunt. He knows he's got to beat him. Like, you know, you saw him hit him last weekend in practice or that heat or whatever it was. He wants it. You know, Coop is a bulldog. And I think he knows where he's at and what he's up against. And I think he'll come out swinging this weekend. What are your thoughts, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right there. And I think there's like a caveat to this whole thing with Indy, right? Let's say Jet like handily wins. Let's say he wins all three main events, right? He extends that points lead out depending on where Cooper and those guys finish. What that actually will do will actually start to get those other guys start focusing on outdoors. And then the run that he'll be able to go on will be crazy. So, you know, once that thing gets out of touch, because again, like what, there's only two guys that are within one race of him right now.
Yeah.
You know, once that starts to reach that out of touch level, the amount of luck that would come into play to then get yourself back into championship contention, like Jet having to DNF or something or have an injury, right? So I think this race for the 450 class is probably the most pivotal race of the entire season. Him doing, you know, and what he'll have five race wins if he gets it this weekend. So I think there's a lot more than just, you know, it being a triple crown or whatever it is. You know, again, I said I can't bet against him. Cooper's shown to be really good in triple crowns. I mean, I think he won A2, right, with no race wins, just was, you know, 3-3-2 or whatever that was for him. So again, we'll see what happens, but again, like I said, it's hard to bet against the kid. He's so damn good.
Bruce, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy really explained that very well on all of that. I think if someone could, I'm gonna go with Jet. I'm gonna admit it, he's the best. I'm gonna go with Jet with the win, but if anyone could crack that, and if for some reason Jet doesn't show up this weekend as himself, I'm going with Webb because of the position he's in right now. He knows that he can't afford any more points to be lost right now with the 13 already. He's got to make something happen, and if someone's going to be able to do it mentally too, it's going to be Webb. So I've got Jet to take the win, Webb second, and I got Tomac for third because Tomac has proven he's gotten pretty good sprint speed, you know, winning that heat race. When was that, last weekend where he beat Jet? And so, you know, that to me shows that he can, you know, he does have that sprint in him. So yeah, I'm going with those for my top three, but you know, it's just, man, this whole season has been so hard to predict. I mean, we've talked about this multiple times where you got a Roczen that wins one weekend and then the next weekend he's the eighth place. It's so all over the place, but I do see a trend now after Daytona where we kind of know who those top three guys are. And I do, I'm very confident that it's going to be kind of like that Jet and Webb show now. And the third back is going to be just kind of a mix of different people. So, or different guys. So, but yeah, it'll be an interesting to see how this weekend plays out. I think it'll tell us a lot after what goes on this weekend. Like Jimmy was saying, if Jet ends up winning all three, I think he's got a really good point. I think these guys are going to be like, you know what, we're done. Let's go focus on outdoors so that he doesn't do this to us in outdoors. And Jet goes on and just continues to win.
And I think the one guy, I'm just being optimistic, but we have seen some speed and good starts out of Sexton at times. Mm-hmm. I don't know where his hand injury is or how that's going, but I'm optimistic that at some point, maybe it's this weekend or maybe it's in the next few, we'll see him come kind of figure things out and come back to life and at least challenge for some wins. These triple crowns would be a great way to do it or place to do it, because Jet doesn't have as many laps to try to eat you up. So I'll throw that in the mix as well. Anything else to add, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I think the other guy that we maybe skipped out on a little bit is Kenny, right? Kenny generally gets good starts. As you mentioned earlier, David, like he's probably the best sprinter of the first five laps. He's probably whether it's indoors or outdoors, actually.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably one of the best sprint guys that probably has ever been, you know, maybe to James. You know, and I think, you know, I want to say it was Indy last year where Kenny got his first win back on the Suzuki, if I remember right. So, you know, he gets good starts. He's a good sprint guy, you know, so I would put, I would put Kenny up on the podium this weekend if I'm talking just like a generalized podium pick. And yeah, I mean, you know, I think that a lot of things on the Chase side is just mental at this point. You know, we know how fast and what his abilities are. And obviously his fitness level has never been a question. Just, I think it's more on the mental side right now with Chase, you know, why more success hasn't come to him this year with the switch over to KDM.
Yeah. And I think it's coming. It's a matter of time. He's a hardworking kid and he'll figure it out. Well, listen, guys, I want to thank both of you for your time. I want to end this thing just so we don't get too long-winded, but huge thanks to our partners, Rock and Turf, Maxxis, and Speedstrap. Really appreciate those guys supporting us, and all of you out there listening and watching, thanks. And we will be back Monday with Riders Meeting, where we break this all down and talk about what happened at Indy. If you're going, have a great weekend. Jimmy, thank you so much. Bruce, appreciate it, boys. And we'll see you guys next week. Take care.